will be a sensitive subject for some and release emotion in many others. My intention here is to handle this subject with dignity and to ensure that this subject is given due respect. My heart goes to those who fell, were injured, and their families. The Columbine High School Massacre. The events at Columbine High School on April the 20th, 1999, were not the first of their kind. They were not the last of their kind. They were not the worst in terms of fatalities, and they were not unique in any way, shape, or form. But the events on that day were generation-defining, in a way where nothing came close until 9/11, just over 2 years later. For me personally, I remember I was home, skipping school because my family was out of town. I sat glued to the breaking news as throughout the day and evening, events unfolded live on television and hit my emotions hard. I think it impacted me so much because the press were reporting the gunmen were bullied teenagers that took revenge on the jocks that had given them a hard time. It resonated with me because I too was one of those guys. I too shared their pain from bullying. I too was in high school at the time, and given a hard time for being alternative and individual. But I also had friends in high school, and I thought about them when I listened to the stories of the victims. I felt so close to these events. As they unfolded, it both broke my heart, shook me, and stayed with me for many years. Later I learned that the events didn't quite happen like the media said they did, and the events didn't quite happen for the reasons that the media said they did. So these are the little reported and often overlooked and ignored details about the Columbine High School Massacre, its perpetrators, and the victims. Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. These are the names of the teenage killers. Teenage killers that had planned an attack on their high school for months and months. They planned to blow up part of their school, killing hundreds of students and faculty. Had their day gone to plan, they may very well have succeeded. The killers referred to the day of the attack as NBK, which was a code name they had created meaning natural born killers, based on a movie that they were a big fan of. There are some theories as to why they did what they did. Some say it was because of bullying they suffered at the hands of high school jocks. Others say that it was an act of homegrown terrorism inspired by the Oklahoma City bombing from 4 years prior. What's no secret is that both Klebold and Harris were suffering from depression. Harris in particular was medicated and may have even been suffering from other personality disorders that he was dealing with. Both boys were interested in Adolf Hitler and German National Socialism of the 1930s. The attack happened incidentally on Hitler's birthday. And both boys had previously had trouble with the law. Warning signs were most certainly there. Both 17-year-old Harris and 18-year-old Klebold were from good homes, with caring parents, and both were intelligent teenagers who showed potential to go far. Harris had recently applied to join the Marines, and Klebold had secured a place at Arizona State University. Both had many friends and were spoken of positively by their peers. On April 20th, 1999, Harris and Klebold woke early. They met at Texaco in West Ottawa, where Harris purchased a propane tank. This was the final item needed for the day ahead. They also had in their arsenal an Intratec Tech 9 9mm semi-automatic pistol, a High Point pistol caliber carbine, a Savage 67 model pump action shotgun, a Stevens 311 model double-barrel sawn-off shotgun, 99 homemade explosive pipe bombs, and 4 knives. With these, they intended to carry out what they had spent months in the planning. Klebold and Harris had amassed their weaponry over the previous year, with some being obtained via friends. What's crazy is that this entire arsenal was stored in the bedroom of Eric Harris and never discovered by his parents at any point. After purchasing the propane can, they returned to Harris's house at around 7 a.m. Harris then prepared propane bombs while Klebold went to obtain gasoline. Having time to relax and eat breakfast, the two boys made their way to Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado, a school they both attended, just before 11 a.m. On the way, they dumped 2 propane tanks and 2 backpacks full of pipe bombs in a field 3 miles southwest of Columbine High School. These were set to explode at 11:14 a.m. and provided diversion for the police and fire department while they commenced their plan. Their main target was always the school cafeteria. They arrived with propane bombs in duffel bags and placed them with the bags of the other students. They were timed to detonate at 11:17 a.m. Klebold and Harris then both went back to their cars to await the explosion, where they planned to shoot students and teachers as they ran from the burning and collapsed building. While walking back to his car, Harris bumped into his friend, Brooks Brown. Brooks asked Harris why he hadn't attended a class test that morning. Harris responded, "It doesn't matter anymore, Brooks. I like you now. Get out of here. Go home." This was in reference to earlier trouble the two friends had had, where Harris had threatened Brown on his website and Brown's parents had contacted the police. Brown had previously smashed Harris's car windscreen after the two had argued over Harris always being late while picking Brown up for school. The cafeteria bombs failed to explode. If they had, there would have almost certainly been more than 500 fatalities. Without the expected explosions, the two boys, armed with a shotgun each, approached the school entrance. At 11:19 a.m., 17-year-old Rachel Scott was having lunch with her friend Richard Castaldo on the grass next to the west entrance of the school. Klebold threw a pipe bomb which only partially detonated. Harris then yelled, "Go! Go!" Both pulled their guns from beneath their long black trench coats and began shooting at Castaldo and Scott. Scott was hit four times, with one shot entering her left temple. She died immediately. Castaldo was shot eight times and paralyzed from the chest down, falling immediately unconscious. Harris now removed his trench coat and aimed his carbine down the west staircase towards 15-year-olds Daniel Roborough and Sean Graves and 16-year-old Lance Kirkland. All three were shot and wounded. At this point, football coach and teacher Dave Sanders witnessed the gunfire while in the cafeteria. He immediately began warning students and diverting them away from the shooters. Harris and Klebold now turned and fired west in the direction of five students sitting on a hillside adjacent to the west entrance. 15-year-old Michael Johnson was hit in the face, leg and arm, but escaped. 16-year-old Mark Taylor was shot in the chest, arms and leg and fell to the ground, where he pretended to be dead. Klebold walked down the steps towards the cafeteria. He approached Lance Kirkland, already wounded and on the ground. Lance was calling for help when Klebold said, "Sure, I'll help you," then shot Kirkland in the face with his shotgun. Daniel Roborough and Sean Graves had now descended the staircase. Graves, paralyzed beneath the waist, had crawled into the doorway of the cafeteria's west entrance and collapsed. He rubbed blood on his face and played dead. Klebold shot Roborough, who was already wounded by the shots previously fired by Harris at close range through the upper left chest, and then stepped over the injured Graves, entering the cafeteria. Klebold said, "Sorry, dude," to Graves. Klebold only slightly entered the cafeteria to check on the propane bombs, still sat there unexploded. Harris was still at the top of the stairs and shot down at several students sitting near the cafeteria's entrance, severely wounding and paralyzing 17-year-old Anne-Marie Holchhalter. Klebold came out of the cafeteria and went back up the stairs to join Harris. They shot at students standing close to a soccer field but did not hit anyone, and then walked towards the west entrance. Throwing pipe bombs in several directions, although very few detonated, Klebold exclaimed, "This is what we always wanted to do. This is awesome." Paddy Nielsen, an art teacher inside the school, heard the commotion and walked west towards the entrance with a 17-year-old student, Brian Anderson. She was not sure what was happening, so headed to investigate. As Anderson opened the first set of double doors, Harris and Klebold shot out the windows, injuring him with flying glass and hitting Nielsen in the shoulder with shrapnel. Nielsen ran back down the hall into the library, shouting to students of the danger and yelling them to get under the desks. She dialed 911 and hid under the library's front desk.
"I've got the kids under the table here. I don't know what's happening in the rest of the building. Most of them smoke in the building. I don't know. I'm sure someone has to be calling 911 to say."
"Yes, we've got a lot of people on." "Okay. I just want you to stay in the line with me. We need to know what's going on."
"Okay.
Okay.
I am on the floor."
"Okay. You've got the kids
in the
there.
Library, and I've got every student in this library on the floor. You better stay on the floor."
"Is there any way you can lock the doors?"
"Smoke is coming in from out there, and I'm a little afraid. The gun is right outside the library door. Okay. I don't think I'm going to go out there.
Okay. You're okay. Calling my high school.
I got three children.
Okay. We're gone."
At 11:22, the police were alerted and made their way to the scene, exchanging gunfire with Harris and Klebold as they arrived, although no one was hit in this exchange. Inside the school cafeteria, teacher Dave Sanders and two custodians, John Curtis and Jay Gallatine, evacuated students up to the staircase leading to the second floor of the school. Sanders then tried to secure as much of the school as he could. By now, Harris and Klebold were inside the main school hallway. Sanders and another student were down at the end of the hallway, where he gestured for students in the library to stay. They encountered Harris and Klebold, who were approaching Sanders and the student, turned and ran in the opposite direction. Harris and Klebold shot at them both. Harris shot Sanders twice in the back and neck. The latter ran into the science classroom and warned everyone to hide. Klebold walked over towards Sanders, who by now had collapsed. He then returned to Harris. Sanders struggled toward the science area, and a teacher took him into the classroom where 30 students were located. A first aid trained student, Aaron Hansey, with the assistance of fellow student Kevin Starkey and teacher Teresa Miller, gave first aid to Sanders for 3 hours, trying to stop his heavy blood loss, using students' shirts and showing him pictures from his wallet to keep him talking. Miller and several students kept contact with the police using a mobile phone. The Library Massacre. At 11:25 a.m., Klebold and Harris threw 2 bombs into the cafeteria, both of which exploded. They then threw another bomb in the library hall, which detonated. At 11:29, Harris and Klebold entered the library. There were 52 students and 4 staff members hiding inside. Harris shouted, "Get up! Everyone with a white cap, stand up! And anybody with a white hat on is dead!" White hats were symbols worn by the jocks at the school. Students frantically tried to hide their white hats. No one stood up, and in response, Harris said, "Fine, I'll start shooting anyway." He fired his shotgun twice at a desk. A student named Evan Todd had been standing near a pillar while the shooters entered the library and had just begun hiding near the copier. Todd was hit by wood splinters in the eye and lower back but was not seriously injured. Todd then hid behind the reception desk. A disabled student, Kyle Velasquez, 16, was sitting at a row of computers. Klebold shot and killed Velasquez, hitting him in the head and back. "This is our revenge," they shouted. Klebold and Harris put down their ammunition-filled duffel bags and reloaded their weapons. They walked to the library windows. Noticing police evacuating students outside the school, Harris said, "Let's go kill some cops." He and Klebold began to shoot in the direction of the police. Officers returned fire, and Harris and Klebold retreated from the windows. No one was injured. After firing through the windows at students and police, Klebold fired his shotgun at a nearby table, injuring 3 students, Patrick Ireland, Daniel Stapleton, and Mackay Hall. He removed his trench coat at this point. As Klebold fired at the 3, Harris grabbed his shotgun and walked towards another row of computer desks, firing a single shot underneath. He hit 14-year-old Stephen Kernow with a mortal wound to the neck. Harris then walked closer and shot under the adjacent computer desk, injuring 17-year-old Casey Rusager with a shot that passed through her right shoulder, hand, and her neck, severing a major artery. When she gasped in pain, Harris stated, "Quit your bitching, it's just a flesh wound," after which Klebold laughed. Harris walked over to another table, slapped the surface twice and said, "Peekaboo," to 17-year-old Casey Bernal before shooting her in the head, killing her instantly. As he did this, the recoil from the gun caused it to spring back and break his nose. Bernal had been praying with her hands at the sides of her head prior to her murder. After fatally shooting Bernal, Harris turned around where 16-year-old Bree Pasquale was hiding. Harris's nose was still bleeding heavily and he had blood around his mouth. Harris asked Pasquale if she wanted to die, and she pleaded for her life. Harris laughed in her face and responded, "But everyone's gonna die." When Klebold said, "Shoot her," Harris responded, "No, we're going to blow the school up anyway." Klebold then walked towards another set of tables where he discovered 18-year-old Isaiah Scholes, 16-year-old Matthew Kechter, and 16-year-old Craig Scott hiding under 1 table. Klebold tried to pull Scholes out from under the table. He called to Harris, referring to Scholes with a racist slur. Harris left Pasquale and joined him. Witnesses state that Harris and Klebold taunted Scholes, making derogatory racial comments. Harris shot Scholes in the chest at point-blank range, killing him instantly. Klebold also opened fire, killing Kechter. Harris then yelled, "Who's ready to die next?" Scott was uninjured but lay in the blood of his friends, pretending to be dead. Klebold and Harris began shooting aimlessly around the room. Klebold shot 17-year-old Mark Kington in the head and shoulder, then turned towards the table to his left and fired, injuring 17-year-old Lisa Kreutz and Valin Schneu with the same shotgun blast. Klebold then moved towards the same table and fired with a Tech-9, killing 18-year-old Lauren Townsend. At this point, the seriously injured Valin Schnur began screaming, "Oh my God! Oh my God!" In response, Klebold asked Schnur if she believed in the existence of God. When Schnur replied that she did, Klebold asked her why and commented, "God is gay," before walking from the table. Harris sniggered at a pair of girls trembling with fear and called them pathetic. He then moved to another table where he fired twice, injuring 16-year-olds Nicole Nolan and John Tomlin. Tomlin moved out from under the table. Harris then taunted Tomlin's attempt at escape before Klebold shot the youth repeatedly, killing him. Harris then walked back over to the other side of the table where Townsend lay dead. Behind the table, a 16-year-old girl named Kelly Fleming had, like Brie Pasquale, sat next to the table rather than beneath it due to the lack of space. Harris shot Fleming with his shotgun, hitting her in the back and killing her instantly. He shot at the table behind Fleming, hitting Townsend and Kreutz again, and wounding 18-year-old Jenna Park. The shooters moved towards the center of the library, where they reloaded their weapons at a table. Harris then pointed his carbine under a table, but the student he was aiming at moved out of the way. Harris turned his gun back on the student and told him to identify himself. It was John Savage, a friend of Klebold's. He asked Klebold what they were doing, to which he shrugged and answered, "Killing people." Savage asked if they were going to kill him. Klebold said no and told him to run, so Savage fled. Harris turned and fired his carbine at a nearby table, hitting the ear and hand of 15-year-old Daniel Mauser. Mauser shoved a chair at Harris. Annoyed by the defiance, Harris fired again, hitting Mauser in the center of his face point blank, killing him by breaking his neck as his head snapped back. Both shooters fired randomly under another table, critically injuring Jennifer Doyle and Austin Eubanks, and fatally wounding 17-year-old Kerry DePuter. There were no further victims. They had killed 10 people in the library and wounded 12. When the gunman entered the library, initially there were 56 hiding within. The killers had more than enough ammunition to kill them all, but witnesses overheard them saying that they had gotten bored of shooting and had briefly considered knifing further victims before moving on. By approximately 12:08 p.m., both Harris and Klebold had committed suicide. Harris sat down with his back to a bookshelf and fired his shotgun through the roof of his mouth. Klebold went down on his knees and shot himself in the temple with his Tech-9. A total of 188 rounds of ammunition were fired by Harris and Klebold during the massacre. Harris had fired twice as much as Klebold. Law enforcement officers fired a total of 141 rounds during exchanges of gunfire with the shooters. In the days following the incident, there was controversy due to police not entering the school and reaching victims for several hours due to them not knowing if the shooters were still at large. Further controversy in regards to the Jefferson County Police Department also arose when it was discovered that the police department had obtained a search warrant for the house of Eric Harris after pipe bombs were discovered near his home, which were linked directly to Harris. The police never executed the warrant, however, which would have certainly prevented the massacre. In the days, weeks, and years since, the police, the public, the media, and all those involved have searched for a reason why. What was the motive? Why did Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold do what they did? The media said they were members of a local goth gang called the Trenchcoat Mafia. They were not. The media said they were influenced by violent movies and music. They were not. The media said they were influenced by violent video games such as Doom. They were not. The media said they were bullied neo-Nazis who sought revenge. They were not. The simple truth that most had trouble swallowing was that there was no motive. Sometimes random acts of evil just happen. Transcripts from the basement tapes, which were a series of videos that Harris and Klebold made that were later destroyed by the police, saw them blame everyone and everything. They were just full of hatred and wanted to kill. They became folk heroes to many, then and still are today, and have inspired many copycat killings. And I think that is the single most chilling part of this massacre, of this event, of this dark part of history. In total, there were 13 victims. 13 people were killed by Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold on April 20th, 1999. They were Rachel Scott, Daniel Roeboro, Dave Sanders, Kyle Vasquez, Stephen Curnow, Cassie Bernal, Isaiah Shawls, Matthew Kechter, Lauren Townsend, John Tomlin, Kelly Fleming, Daniel Mauser, and Corey DePuta. 23 other members of faculty and students were also injured during the attack, and two killers killed themselves. Take care of everyone. Take care of each other. Until next time, stand firm and hold fast as you head into the darkest night.